My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Hey, guys.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff going on in the world of cinema. But this week, it's Apocalypse Now, Big Monkey version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a real movie that might have been made in the 50s.
Yeah, there's Big Monkey. Apocalypse Big Monkey. Apocalypse Big Monkey.
Because we saw Kong.
We saw Kong, Skull Island.
Semicolon, Skull Island.
And we're feeling pretty good, guys.
Yeah.
We'll spoil some opinions, but yeah. That's a movie. There's some movies out right now.
I know, Sean.
This and Logan, and it's a good time.
Some serious catching up to do.
And we're going
to
talk about some of that this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth. I don't even know what day this is supposed to be. This is this Friday's episode. People, well, I should figure this out beforehand. Yeah, Friday, yeah, March 10th, 2017. We are once again at the AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 West Homestead, Pennsylvania.
Holla at your boy. I love it.
On the other side of MacGuffins. And Aaron just found out why it's called MacGuffins.
Yeah, I forgot.
That's a movie term.
Yeah, I forgot.
That's like a red herring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because I was reading. I remember the term. I've heard it before, but it all kind of put it like it was like a couple different pieces of information.
Yeah.
And then it hits together and you see like light, like you're in a race car and you're like, what?
Like
a movie.
Russell Crowe's thinking in Beautiful Mind.
Yeah, it's like yeah. And you're like, what? And then the word MacGuffin exploded in front of me.
Yeah.
Because I was reading movie trivia for another movie, and it said, like, MacGuffins. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I put the two and two together.
Speaking of moments of big revelations for you personally.
Yeah.
This movie started rolling.
I'm so mad.
And
I'm embarrassed.
Aaron said, I wonder if...
I said
there's a Godzilla thing, and I'm like, that's what we're watching.
I said, dude.
We're watching the big monster universe.
I got real pumped when I found out that John Goodman worked for Monarch.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, that's the company that, dude. And you were like, yeah, man.
That's why we're
part
here.
Of the universe.
Yeah.
How did I miss that Facebook post?
Yeah.
How did I miss that blog entry?
Well, we haven't been thinking, because Godzilla was what? Was that 2015? 2014? That's a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's.
It did very, very well worldwide.
No, it was 2014, bro.
Yeah, and early in the
new
year,
one's
if
coming
I remember
out in
it.
19.
And there's a Godzilla 2 with Gareth Edwards, who directed that Godzilla in 2014.
Yeah.
And you know better now as the director of Rogue One.
Yep,
that was good.
Yeah, he did. He's doing all right.
And he's got a much nicer house than he did to 7 years ago.
You know who's in the next Godzilla King of the Monsters? Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things.
Get out, really.
Vera Farmiga. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Chandler, love him too.
That's like a TV all-star cast is what that
Dude, it's
is.
The best. I love it.
No, I'm thinking of the other Farmiga who's on most American Horror Stories. That's her sister. But still, that's a good cast.
Yeah.
Was that 2014 Godzilla? That was set in modern. That was modern day,
yes.
Right? And Kong Skull Island, which yes is part of the series that will eventually lead to Godzilla versus Kong.
Sweet
in
Lord.
2020 or 2021, I believe. This is set at the end of the Vietnam War. It's a Vietnam movie,
yeah,
with King Kong in it.
And you know we're going to be spoiler free as usual. I mean it's pretty much the end of the Vietnam War, and the last mission for Samuel Jackson and his men is to basically accompany some scientists to an uncharted island.
Jurassic Park 2.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Did you hear my synopsis?
Yeah,
that was great.
Good. Yeah, that was
that made me excited for the movie, and I just saw
that's
it.
That's the IMDb one line.
Yeah. Dude, that's good. Yeah. It really was. You were right. It's like Apocalypse Now meets, what did you say?
Meets giant monsters.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. The whole thing's good. Spoiler, we liked it.
Yeah.
But the best part of it is like Samuel L. Jackson as a general, corporal.
Lieutenant, corporal, whatever. Yeah.
Who, like, wasn't ready to leave the war yet and is slowly losing it.
Yep.
And now he's on, you know, Monster Island.
Now he wants to kill Big Monkey.
Yeah. That, some of the shots of him...
Apocalypse Now.
By the way, the direction and the cinematography is amazing.
I turned to Sean at one shot and I was like, that's a poster.
Yeah.
There was
there's 30 of those.
Yeah. Like works of art.
The director is Jordan Voight Roberts. This is his first big thing. He did The Kings of Summer in 2013, which I liked a lot. That's a great movie,
yeah.
but you know, it's an indie movie about teenagers who ran away living in the woods. So very, very different from Kong Skull Island, but that's what happens to young directors now.
Right.
And you've got that indie hit or two, and they think, you know, this guy could probably do something interesting with a big property. And it's the direction, you know, we could maybe talk about this. We'll talk about the script a little bit. We might talk a little bit about the pacing, but the look of this is unbelievable.
Oh, it's so good.
And the cinematographer is Larry Fong, who did Super 8. That makes sense.
Complete sense.
Who did Sucker Punch, who did Watchmen, who did 300.
Wow, I like this guy.
So he's a Zack Snyder guy. He did Batman v Superman.
He's good at shooting movies.
So we won't hold Batman v Superman against him on that.
He has nothing to do with the script. He makes it look pretty.
Right, right. Batman v Superman looked pretty enough. A little dark. Yeah.
Well, they told him to make it dark.
But Super 8,
yeah.
Right?
Super 8, great.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that is very underrated.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that pisses me off how underrated that movie
that
is.
That came a little early. I think that would have been a giant hit five years after it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really... I'm thinking back to Super 8 now.
I know.
Anyway.
Oh, it's so good. You got to watch it again.
Yeah.
What a cast.
Oh, yeah.
Holy hell.
Let's... since we already mentioned him, Samuel L. Jackson stopped aging 20 years ago.
Okay.
I looked at him in this, and it's like, he hasn't changed. Does he look older than Pulp Fiction? Yes. Does he look older than, you know, stuff from like 3-4 years later than that? No. He looks exactly the same.
Long Kiss Goodnight. You know, he has, in the last couple movies he's done, he's been a little bit of an older dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Django, Hateful Eight.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Dude, he shows up here, and I'm like, dude, he's 30.
Yeah.
Like, he looks 30.
And Nick Fury looks like that, too.
Yeah. Do you think they brushed him up?
Maybe a little bit.
I mean, he has some good close-ups, and, you know.
But... And not only does he not age, you know, there was a moment there where he threatened to become self-parody, to become De Niro.
I know,
you know, Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
But he's still awesome. He still kills it every time.
Yes, I think they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. That's a really good movie, by the way.
Oh, and Kingsman. I forgot about him in Kingsman.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was fun. They're doing another one of those this year,
sure.
Aren't they?
Sure. That was a fun action movie.
Yeah, that was a good time. Kong Skull Island. Samuel L. Jackson was great.
Yeah.
Brie Larson, I've loved forever. She's loved her since Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I didn't like that look. But she's solid. I don't. I'm not in love with her. I think she's great.
I thought that she did really, really well, and I thought that Tom Hiddleston couldn't keep up with her. Like, charisma-wise. They're kind of a pair. Tom Hiddleston is, like, the mercenary who they hire to, like, keep him alive.
Right.
And she's a war photographer who gets pulled in.
Right.
So they're kind of paired up.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. She definitely shone a little bit. Yeah. She had some shine to her, for sure.
I don't know about Tom Hiddleston. He was fine.
He was fine.
I only really like him as Loki, to be honest.
You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of... like Doc Savage in this movie. Remember we talked about Doc Savage, and I know The Rock is playing Doc Savage, but he did kind of remind me of an English Doc Savage in this movie.
I take that back. He was really good as Hank Williams in I Saw the Light.
Oh, yeah.
Last year. But like Crimson Peak, too, he was supposed to carry. He couldn't handle it.
Well, we know about that movie. It was a fart in the water.
Yeah. But ignore him. Samuel L. is great. Brie Larson is great. Yeah. John Goodman Man.
He's always good.
He's always good.
Always
good. He had a killer, killer performance last year in 10 Cloverfield Lane. And just as good as this. But
let's save the best for last. Corey Hawkins.
Yeah.
Who played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton. He's really good. He doesn't have as big as a part as I wish he did, because he's good. I just saw him in the new 24 Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good.
And Jason Mitchell, who played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton.
He was good in this. He had some good scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Shea Whigham.
Yeah, go with that.
Shea Whigham. You might know him as Nucky Thompson, Steve Buscemi's brother in Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
He was spectacular in that. That's why he's now working nonstop, because he was so good in Boardwalk Empire.
Toby Kebbell is working all the time. Mm-hmm. He was the man behind Koba in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh my, that's right.
And we won't hold against him that he was Victor Von Doom in the 2015 Fantastic Four. Won't hold that against him.
Wait, who?
Toby Kebbell.
Oh, Toby Kebbell, that's right. Oh yeah.
But speaking of saving the best for last,
he's also credited as Kong. You know that, right?
What?
Yeah, dude.
He was a character and Kong. He did the mocap for Kong.
Has he done a lot of that before?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
He played Koba.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who was the really sympathetic one?
He also played a dude in Warcraft, World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay.
So
but interesting that he was playing two roles, because he's one of the soldiers as well.
Yeah.
But you said we were saving the best for last. That would be John C. Reilly.
Dude.
Oh my God, he's so funny. He's unbelievable. And this isn't a real, like, this is an action movie that has comic relief moments. It's not a funny action movie.
No.
When it's serious, it's really serious. But those comic relief moments with him are like fall out of your chair funny.
I mean, one line.
Yeah.
And you're crying.
Yeah.
It's perfect. He is perfect in this.
He's
a comic relief in an action adventure movie.
Yeah.
This is back to like Indiana Jones.
Short Round. He's Short Round.
No.
But funny.
He's so good.
I mean, this isn't really a spoiler. You can tell this from the trailers. He's playing a soldier who got stuck on Skull Island much, much earlier and has been there ever since. And like, there are some scenes where you could tell he was riffing a little bit and they just kept the cameras rolling. And like that ants thing, that had to be improv, because it wasn't paid off.
Oh yeah, we're not going to spoil it,
that was not paid off. That was, they had the cameras rolling and he just started talking about ants.
I was laughing because, you know, in a PG-13 movie, you get one F word.
Yeah,
John C. Reilly,
he used it so well.
Dude, I'm like tearing up thinking about his performance.
Oh my God.
And he had to have improvised a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
It was too funny.
Definitely.
It was too funny. I was talking about Marcus Brody. Dr. Marcus Brody in like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Remember that doctor that doesn't know where he's at? And like, you know, it's like that. It's like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know. But this, I mean, this is, he's, you know, Marcus Brody isn't as funny as John C. Reilly.
It's one of the, I mean, there aren't too many movies where the comic relief is usually like awkward one-liner.
Yeah, right.
It's not laugh out loud funny like you're watching a hilarious comedy, and immediately, you know, due to good direction, is able to switch back to some really tense moments. And
I don't want to spoil about John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil that. But it works perfectly with the story. I mean, it completely, everything that they introduced moved it along. It made sense. He's funny.
The let's get to the action though, because you know, I still send reviews into Box Office Profits, boxofficeprofits.com, profits with a PH. And when they do their votes at the end of the year, one of their categories is best scene.
Yeah.
Best scene of a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I made a mental note, remember the first big Kong action scene, which
we
won't spoil here.
No, we
can't.
But
it is like jaw-dropped, just staring that's, at it. Oh my
that,
God.
That scene is also the one that has like four or five movie posters in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speechless thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I was just sitting there. I just kept turning you like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like it was. And, you know, Sean and I don't say this very often.
Yeah.
But I turned to Sean and said, I would see this in IMAX 3D.
Yeah, we were watching it, you know, in a normal theater 2D showing, which normally I see that and I'm like, you know what, good.
Fine.
Because a lot of 3D doesn't add anything.
Doesn't need it.
This, I kind of want to go back.
I would love to see it.
I kind of want to get LASIK eye surgery and then see this again just so I can. And the CGI looks pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's not perfect. The bad guys I thought were, eh. But
yeah,
but
there's,
Kong looks
there's
great.
Some other creatures.
Not a spoiler. That's always the case in a King Kong movie.
But it definitely, man, as much as I liked Godzilla.
Yeah.
I did. And people are like, N-n-n-n. I go, nope. I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
And I loved this, which makes me so excited because you opened that world to me that there's mm-hmm. this universe that they're building. And now this is my. I mean, Marvel's getting a little stale for me, I'm going to be honest. I'm just like, okay, I get it.
Well, that's why Guardians 2 is next, to pull you right back
right.
in.
Right, Civil War was fun, a lot of good scenes. Guardians, sure, I want to see the second one.
But a Thor later this year does not have you,
Jeff.
No, get
the F out of my face, Thor.
Yeah.
This is the new series I'm excited for. I really am. I mean, I've always loved big monsters.
I said this when it ended. There's something about it. I could watch big monsters fight for four hours.
Do you remember when TNT used to show monster movies at like midnight on Friday or Saturdays?
Yeah.
I love that. They would show two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And I fell in love with the old B movies and monster movies.
Now I want to give some love. You know, do you know his name is Matt Buchholz? He's a local artist, DJ, does a lot of different things. His site, I believe, is alternatehistories.com. I'm going to make sure of that. But like he's the one who did that zombie breakout map of Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So a lot of it is Pittsburgh-based, but he has a lot of monster stuff.
Yeah.
And for March, he's doing a March Monster Madness poll tournament where every day he's doing a monster fight. Like yesterday was Godzilla versus the giant octopus from something, and today was Nosferatu versus the Deadites.
The best.
Yeah, jump on there, and he's got all kinds of great monster stuff. Alternatehistories.com. But
he's fun.
I mean, we kind of got away from big monster movies for a while
because
they got a little hokey. Matthew Broderick Godzilla, you know, it wore out its welcome.
Ugh.
But then
P. Diddy,
ever since Cloverfield hit reset, and it's been pretty good stuff ever since. When you've got giant monsters.
Now this is one of my favorite, you know, movie franchises. I love Godzilla, and I'm excited for this. And just a little quick aside, should we talk about this in extra butter?
What?
Because I said this is my new favorite series, really, that this universe. The one universe that I'm not excited about is the Universal Monsters.
Yeah, this is not filling me with
hope. I knew a little bit, but then you laid it all out, and I am sick to my stomach.
Well, the thing is, There's going to be a reboot of the Universal Monsters shared universe.
Which is one of my favorite
and
cinema worlds of all time.
What you need to know is that I really think these are being made for global appeal and not like this or not like Mad Max or not even like Jurassic World.
Like,
I think these are being made to sell globally much more than they're concerned with the quality of the movies because of the stars involved. So
I mean, I know Godzilla and King Kong, they are, you know, they're legendary figures, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, Universal Monsters, that's it. They are the beginning.
They're the beginning of horror, really.
Yeah,
they're the beginning of what we know as horror.
I mean, dude, there has to be some sort, when you're making these movies as remakes or reboots or whatever, there has to be some sort of intrinsic artistic value that you want to keep for these films.
And instead. And
I mean, you just don't care. You have Tom Cruise running around with a terrible mummy.
The first one is
going
to be...
I don't know if I can listen.
The mummy is coming in a couple of months here. Tom Cruise is starring as, like, I don't know, the guy researching. It also features Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll. Okay.
Whatever.
But they don't have great people. That's being directed by Alex Kurtzman, who did Amazing Spider-Man 2, Ender's Game. No, that's producer.
Whatever.
Director, what has he even directed? Like, he's mainly been a producer and a...
Hey, you can blame him for writing Transformers.
Written by John Spaihts. Who did...
Probably a Disney show? No.
Passengers. Which, you know my feelings on that one, if you've been around.
He directed an episode of Alias.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's how they're starting it, and then they're talking about... There's an Invisible Man film with Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man.
Kill me.
That is being written Ed Solomon, who's old. He's best known for things like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Kill me.
Super Mario Brothers.
Kill me.
Men in Black.
Oh, my God.
That'll be followed by a Wolfman film. They're in talks with The Rock to star.
Well, say that one more time so the listeners...
Wolfman film... In talks with The Rock. So you want to know when The Rock's charm will wear off? It'll be then.
Yep.
A Van Helsing film. They're saying that's going to be modern day.
Modern day Van Helsing. Let's do that again.
Taking inspiration from Mad Max.
Also.
Creature from the Black Lagoon reboot with Scarlett Johansson as the woman who, you know, that whole story. Bride of Frankenstein with Angelina Jolie as the bride and Javier Bardem.
The real life Bride of Frankenstein.
As Frankenstein.
Yeah, Javier Bardem as Frankenstein. I mean, he already kind of looks like Frankenstein, his brow.
I couldn't be less excited.
I'm just sick.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible. But I am excited for Kong and Godzilla.
But this is going great.
They have Gojira. I'm sorry, that's... they have... Oh, my God.
They have this isn't a spoiler. This was Liz Deals. They acquired the rights to Mothra and King Ghidorah. And the other Godzilla. And we're going to have a big monster fight coming up.
Dude, I love this universe. And
really
you know what's great about it? They're doing such a good job at the films. Like it's not even the monsters are good and then like everything around it, you're like, meh, I could deal with it. No.
I wanna like take screenshots from this movie and make them my computer background.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, dude.
It's beautiful.
Well,
beautiful.
If you IMDb it,
yeah.
I mean the thing that shows up on the film's advertisement on the top banner.
Yeah.
I mean, that poster is incredible.
It has the look of like a Raiders of the Lost Ark or a classic adventure movie. Not this. It's not dark and gritty like, you know, a lot of lesser attempted blockbusters.
You're absolutely right. It feels like an Indiana Jones.
As much as I like a lot of the Marvel movies kind of aren't known for their look.
Right.
This looks like people wanted to make fucking film, right?
Not
a blockbuster, a film.
Yeah, I think that movies like this, I think they're taking a cue from those action adventure movies of the 80s and 90s that were just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Here's what we need to do. Here's your team. Here's the action. Here's the comic relief.
Yeah.
Done. Why Mad Max was so great.
Right.
Because he brought it back to... Here's the story. Boom.
Yeah.
No garbage.
And really, there's an interesting contrast because one of the things that I remember us talking about and loving about Godzilla was that was the ultimate wait, build the suspense to show the monster.
They did a great job at that.
You waited forever, and it made it so good.
Yeah, it was a good reveal.
And in this one, they're like, nope, here he is. You're in it.
And you know, I liked, now, some people complained about Godzilla, saying, well, you didn't really see Godzilla until 45 minutes. Well, you kind of saw him.
Yeah.
But I like because we've been waiting for so long.
That's the Jaws
for a great
method.
Right.
Right.
And when Godzilla finally showed up, but this was like, oh, no, you're on Kong's Island. Here he is.
Right.
He's pissed.
You know what it felt like? It felt like a 3-hour action movie that just cut the first hour. Right?
Amen. That's what makes these movies, some of these movies like this, mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
Because they don't, oh my gosh, what did I turn to you and say? I go, oh, wait, you mean they're not going to walk around the island for 45 minutes
mm-hmm.
and talk?
Yeah.
And run into some, I don't know, dumb mosquitoes the size of dogs? Or just, you know what I mean? That dumb garbage that, you know, like...
Well, like the last King Kong movie?
Or Crystal Skull?
Yeah.
You know, well, shit like that?
And I liked the 2005 King Kong movie when it came out. But man,
wait, which one is that?
The Peter Jackson made it. It had Naomi Watts, Jack Black, Adrian Brody. I liked it at the time because it was
okay.
It was like, that's okay.
Very similar.
It's a combination of like old school Hollywood because it's set in the 30s, like
right.
the original,
right?
With the Peter Jackson grandeur, Lord of the Rings,
right?
Thing. It's fine. It was, you know, I don't think you need to go back and watch it now. It was fine to go and eat some popcorn that December.
It was okay, yeah.
This is something different.
Yeah.
This is something special.
Yeah. It's definitely, and you know, you never thought that they would, how they really turned it on its head. They really did.
Yeah.
Like with the whole Vietnam connection.
Yeah, that's.
But it's like, oh, it kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It all made sense.
Yeah.
There was a couple things where I'm like, oh, that covers up that plot hole, but they did not ruin it. I was worried for a minute.
No, I think that was pretty lazy. I give them props for solving the problem.
Yeah.
But this isn't a big spoiler. The island has a permanent storm around it.
A hurricane.
So that's why no one's ever noticed it, and that's why they can't get in to get them out. And it's like, okay,
and we have no radio contact with the outside world because of this hurricane that surrounds the island. And I turn to Sean, I go, oh, well, that plot hole was covered up nicely.
Well, it's... So it's basically like the big red spot on Jupiter has been on Earth forever and no one's noticed it. I know that I'm nitpicking the science on a giant monkey movie, but that was like, I'm going to tell you, I'm not nuts about the script because there's a lot, there's six different characters that spontaneously just drop wisdom lines.
That's true.
Goodman does, Samuel L. Jackson does, that one older soldier does.
Yep.
They, like, people just start, John C. Reilly does, people are just like... Sometimes the jungle eats you, and sometimes you take a bite out of the jungle. Like, there's a variation. I made that one up. There's a variation on that every 6 minutes.
It's like John Milius did a punch-up of the script.
Right. It's that could have used some work. But, I mean, look, if you... The big year was 2 years ago, right, when we had Mad Max and Jurassic World and Avengers, and everything was blowing up all at once. If you liked that stretch where every time you went to the theater, it was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. This fits in with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got a lot more to come this summer. I mean, we did a preview episode earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the end of the year.
But how is anything going to keep up with this and Logan?
Yeah, I mean...
I'm still pumped for another Fast and the Furious and
that, you know what?
And Guardians and all of that. But and Episode 8, by the way.
Fast 7... I mean, I enjoyed. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Fast 8's going to be fun.
This next one looks bad, dude. It does not look good.
They're not about being good. They're about being
bonkers.
No,
but look, I saw the trailer.
Vin Diesel's a bad guy now, guys.
I saw the trailer for 7, and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
This one looks like a goddamn cartoon. It's so bad.
Well, they're going a little
bad.
They had a good way to call it quits after
really
the last
care.
One.
I'm not disappointed. Who
you're
cares?
Not, you're not going to pass up that money.
No.
Yeah.
Do you think they're trying to transition The Rock into the bigger role and get Vin Diesel out of there? I know he's a producer.
He might be getting sick of it. Vin Diesel.
I think they might. Yeah.
And The Rock does everything.
He can
he's
do no
got
wrong.
Three, he's got three
he can do
tentpoles
no wrong.
This year.
He can do no wrong.
Except for The Wolfman.
We'll see.
He's got Jumanji, Baywatch, and Fast 8 this summer.
Yeah.
He could host the Oscars, by the way.
He should.
I mean...
I love him.
Jimmy Kimmel, fine. By the way, Extra Butter is going to be about the Oscars. I know you stopped caring, but that's the first chance we had to talk about it.
All right.
Jimmy Kimmel did fine, but did you watch the Oscars?
Yes.
So the beginning number with Justin Timberlake, I'm like, here's your host. Justin Timberlake could host these today.
I actually missed pieces of that because my rabbit ears weren't working that well.
Okay. But Justin Timberlake and or The Rock, those are Oscar hosts.
I love Justin Timberlake with all my heart.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about the Oscars because we had a weird schedule. Logan was recorded before the Oscars, so this is the first chance we've had to talk about him. And I don't know if you heard, things got kooky at the Oscars.
Jeez, oh, man.
So let's chat about that. But before we do, hey, do you have a podcast idea? Aaron, tell them where to go.
Well, if you have a podcast idea, and as I say on my podcast, Grown Dad Business, that's right, I do another one.
Yeah. You heard a crossover episode a couple weeks
that's
ago.
That's right.
Jason Clark.
Yeah. If you are interested in doing your own podcast, go check out Epicast. That's the people who put together our podcasts, this one and Grown Dad Business, and a lot of other awesome podcasts from Epicast. That's who they are, Epicast, E-P-I-C-A-S-T, cast.
And if you go to epicastnetwork.com/services, you can see everything they can do for you, which is not just editing and uploading your show. They'll get your events going, photography, live audio, streaming, they can do everything.
They have a green screen studio.
They do have a green screen studio.
I love sitting on the leather couches and recording bigger podcasts.
Yeah.
That's fun at the studio. They do live production, event production, event promotion, all kinds of stuff. They're always putting on shows. They're always recording shows and shooting photography of shows and all kinds of things. Check out epicastnetwork.com/services if you want to check into that.
And we'll be right back after this word from, appropriately enough, the Epicast Network.
What do you know? Boom! I'm Aaron Kleiber. Guys, check out my podcast, Grown Dad Business, part of the Epicast Network. I talk to guests, some comedians, actors, some pretty fun, interesting people about their kids, about their childhood, about parents. And every once in a while, I bring in my own kids. Like my son Luke. Should they listen to the podcast? Why?
But we love you, right?
Oh, okay. Or my daughter Becca talks to us. Why should they listen to the podcast?
Because my dad is funny.
True.
He is a good spy.
He's a good spy?
Yes.
Not anymore. You just told everybody.
And he's awesome.
Luke, am I awesome?
He poops.
I do poop. Listen to Grown Dad Business, guys, part of the Epicast Network, and you'll get more of this and hopefully more entertaining things that is not happening. Follow your heart.
And we're back. Aaron, where are you going to be?
Oh, I'm going to be all over the place. Hey, I mentioned my podcast, Grown Dad Business. I just want to give a shout out real quick. Grown Dad Business is a comedian's podcast. And it is on a new app called Laughable. It's pretty dope.
Oh, yeah, this is awesome.
Pretty dope. I'm the least famous person on the app. I was like, why am I here? But it's a one-stop podcast app for comedians and comedy podcasts. All your favorite comedians' podcasts are on Laughable. Just go on you can download it on your iPhone. It is not available for Android yet. I apologize. But go download Laughable. You can search Grown Dad Business or Aaron Kleiber, and you can find my podcast on there along with all the other podcasts that I've been a guest on. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
All my Doug Loves Movies and stuff like that. But check it out. I'll be back in Buffalo on March 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Be back in Buffalo, one of my fun spots. And then March 24th and 25th, I'll be in Dayton, Ohio at Wiley's. And then I'll be in Erie at the end of the month with my friend Harlan Williams. Then I'm going to Albany, and I'm going to Harrisburg.
Harlan's doing Erie.
Yeah, dude.
Look, I know some people in Erie. This will be the funniest day of the year in Erie if Harlan's playing.
Well, no doubt. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Because I told Harlan, putting I was like, yeah, well, you know, it's one of my favorite clubs.
Yeah.
And they were like, who should we bring? And I go, oh, you got to bring Harlan.
Mm-hmm.
And Harlan goes, dude, Erie called me and said that you gave him my name.
Yeah.
He said, Erie. I go, I'm telling you, dude. It's awesome club.
They'll pack it
up. Have a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's March 30th through April 1st.
A lot of cool stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And on a you know, slightly somber note, but one that's going to lead to some laughter. If you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday, night, the 11th.
Thank you.
There are a pair of fundraisers for our friend John Rawlich, comic we've both worked with a bunch. Nicest guy in the world, unfortunately passed away a couple of weeks ago. We're doing a couple of fundraisers to help his family out, expenses, funeral costs, and everything. One of those is going to be at Arcade Comedy Theater, downtown Pittsburgh. One of them is going to be in Weirton, West Virginia, at Undo's. That was kind of John's homeroom.
Right, right.
Aaron and I are going to be out at in Weirton.
Yeah.
But if you're in Pittsburgh, head to Arcade and kick in some money there.
Yeah.
Also
it's all Saturday, March 11th.
Yeah.
If you're listening today,
all
Friday.
Great lineups on both of those shows.
Oh my gosh,
everybody
stacked.
Wanted to help out. So.
Yeah, of course.
Friday the 17th, I will be at Row House Cinema. This is cool. They're going to show Be Kind Rewind. Speaking of underrated movies.
Super underrated. So funny. A lot of heart.
A lot of what they did in Be Kind Rewind, that movie is about people making like weird home versions of famous movies, just like in their basement, called Sweeting. We Sweeted the film.
Yeah.
So Row House is hosting the first Pittsburgh Sweeted film competition.
I love it.
Friday night, the 17th, I'm going to be hosting that.
I love
it. And let's not forget, I'll be at the Oaks Theater in Oakmont. Love playing there, Friday the 24th.
Oh, nice.
And Burning Bridges Comedy Festival is coming up. Friday, March 31st through Sunday, April 2nd. Basically every venue in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, really cool. It's all over the place. There's some amazing headliners. They'll be at like Mr. Small's
Club Cafe, Arcade, Unplanned Comedy, just all over the place.
Yeah.
Just Google that, Burning Bridges
also
Comedy Festival.
Also at Arcade, there'll be a special stand-up get-down.
Yes.
Stand-up comedy game show
with
for the first time, hosted by Jason Clark.
Oh, how about, well, who's going to be Jason?
DJ John Hancock.
Oh. Well, who's going to be DJ John Hancock?
DJ John Hancock.
Oh, he's pulling double
duty. He's playing
double
duty.
He's going to have to spin the wheels of steel and sling the drinks all at once.
I gotta go do jokes with my friend Harlan Williams.
Yeah, that's
so,
fair.
So it'll be fun.
Lots of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extra butter, dude.
Extra butter.
The Oscars.
I know. It was 2 weeks ago. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. So we'll keep this brief.
Okay.
But Denzel was definitely better.
I know.
You know?
Come on.
And that's how I felt about Best Actress, too. There were three better nominees.
Hmm.
I thought Isabelle Huppert was going to win. We talked about that on the show.
Yeah.
I thought there was an upset brew in there. But I also thought Natalie Portman was better. And I thought that Ruth Negga in Loving was better.
It was Natalie Portman. That was my pick.
Yeah.
I mean, man, she was good.
And I'm not saying I didn't enjoy Emma. I thought I loved her. I mean, she
was great.
She's charming and funny and did carry that move. Carried La La Land more than Ryan Gosling did.
I agree with that.
But in terms of, was that such an amazing acting performance that I want to give it? No.
No.
No. I'm really baffled by those. Opposite. Couldn't be more pleased at supporting actor and supporting actress.
Sure.
That was just right.
Absolutely, sure.
La La Land did not win nearly as many awards as I thought it was going to. The big, like, what upset was Hacksaw Ridge winning Best Editing. You know, Best Editing usually goes to the thing that wins Best Picture. And
you know, I honestly thought Best Picture was going to be Best Editing. See, look, I just messed up the Oscars, too.
Yeah.
I really thought that the editing was going to go to La La Land. I mean...
Yeah. And it got some of those. It got production design. It got cinematography.
Right.
Cinematography in La La Land is great.
Beautiful.
I'm happy it did. I was glad it got director, too.
Yeah.
Damien Chazelle.
Yeah. Are we over talking about the snafu?
No. We're building to the snafu.
Okay.
Because it's mind-blowing. My mind is still blown.
I keep
rewatching it.
It's, what is it, 2 weeks later?
Yeah.
I'm so over talking about it. I have so exhausted talking about it. So let's do this one more time.
Here's
why. In the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. Do you really, I mean, you know, Occam's razor, dude. The simplest thing is, This guy was tweeting pictures and messed up.
And didn't hand the right envelope. And
wasn't paying attention.
Two other small, I mean.
How many times have you been on your phone not paying attention?
Exactly.
I mean, what a dumbass. I mean, of all places, look, when you're an extra in a movie.
Yeah.
They're like, yo.
Yeah.
Put your phone away.
Yeah.
You're backstage at the Oscars and you're in charge of the
envelopes.
And you are playing on your phone taking pictures?
And
are you out of your mind?
Apparently part of it was like the print was weird and it was hard to read. So when you had two old people out there, they never saw that it said Best Actress
well,
on the
I
outside
tell you
of
what,
the envelope.
A couple things about that. Yeah. There's a great meme. No.
Yeah.
There's a great picture going around and it just says I think our friend Adam Chico posted it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was something like typeface is everything.
Yeah.
And it showed what it looked like. And then they said, and then they gave a comparison side by side, like, this is what it should have looked like.
Giant letters, Emma Stone.
Right.
Really little La La Land. Because it doesn't matter what.
Doesn't
you know,
matter.
Yeah. You don't have and to, you La don't La even La have Land, to print the name of the film on a Best Actress envelope.
No, it was the biggest word.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to, before you get to your thought here, I also, we need to leave Warren Beatty alone. Because it was Annette Bening.
Oh, it was Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway, I'm sorry.
Annette Bening was not on the stage.
That used to be, that's his wife.
It's his wife.
Sorry. Faye Dunaway, she's the one that screwed up.
Well.
Because I watched it over and over.
Oh, I've watched this like the Kennedy assassination.
Warren Beatty, I know, right?
Yeah.
And Warren Beatty looks back and to the right at Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
Because what happens is he's kind of looking around like, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Like he was, you could tell where he's like, I don't really know what to do.
I thought he was having one moment where he thought, did Emma Stone produce La La Land?
Yes.
He's given away Best Picture twice before, so he knows the names on there are the names right. of the producers. So I almost saw him thinking, there's no way she produced La La Land.
I just think that he was like kind of confused. Like,
yeah.
You know, maybe he did have a senior moment to himself where he's like, am I presenting Best Actress?
Yeah.
Like, did I miss this?
But like, Faye Dunaway, I thought I was just he, glances
yep,
at it.
He kind of showed her the card, and you can watch it over and over. He kind of showed her the card like, hey, Faye, does yeah. this look weird to... And then she was just like, boom,
oh,
La
and,
La Land.
And when you're watching it 15 times, listen when the music starts playing and the announcement, you know, the announcer voice comes on, this award, for you know, in the background, you can hear him going, it says Best Actress.
Yeah.
And she says, what? And that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The thing that blows my mind is this could have happened on any award. This could have happened on Best Sound Mixing. This could have happened on Best Documentary.
Yeah.
But one, it happened on Best Picture. Two, the mistake envelope was an envelope containing a possible winner.
Yeah.
He could have been handed the envelope for Best Documentary. And then he says OJ Made in America and everyone knows something's wrong. He could have been handed the envelope for Best Animated Feature. He says Zootopia, everyone knows something's wrong. But he was handed an envelope that had something that not only could have won Best Picture, was exactly what we were all expecting to win
right,
Best
I
Picture.
Know.
And it happened to be that the thing we thought might pull an upset was the real winner.
Yeah.
It in the screw up, you had the whole award season race in a moment.
You couldn't have written it better.
Where it's we know, look, Moonlight's great, but look, La La Land is the Oscariest movie ever.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to convince ourselves maybe something else can win, but then some Hollywood royalty is going to say Best Picture La La Land, which happened.
Yeah.
And then Moonlight still pulls the upset after that blows my mind.
It's
the weirdest thing that ever happened.
I got two more things.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. So we went with the easiest explanation, right?
Right.
So then a bunch of some comedians were sitting around. We're like, what if they did that on purpose?
Oh.
What if they did that on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Because ratings have been dropping in the Oscars.
Could be.
This is, remember, now
right.
this is getting fringy here.
Right.
This is like, what if they did this like, you got to watch the whole Oscars. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Somebody could come down from the rafters with a steel chair.
Yeah.
You never know. Now Sean's really loves movies.
Yeah.
The Oscars were like Survivor Series.
Did you see the thing that was like a little tongue in cheek?
What happened was Moonlight cashed in Money in the Bank.
Moonlight cashed in Money in the Bank.
That's what happened
at the last minute.
What were you gonna say?
Did you see that there was this? I forget where I read it. This is kooky, and it was a little tongue in cheek, but it's like we may be seeing the evidence that we live in the Matrix and shit's going haywire upstairs.
Yeah, break that down.
If we were, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But someone said, look, in the last 3 or 4 months, you've had a presidential candidate who was given 99% chance of winning, losing.
Yeah, I know, right?
You had a football team blow a 27-point lead in
the Super Bowl.
20 minutes in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And you had literally the most Oscar bait movie ever, which was also really good. No one's not saying that.
Right.
Get upset by a little indie movie that didn't make a lot of money.
The humans are taking over the machines again.
But in the most dramatic fashion possible.
Yeah.
There's whoever is at the controls has had a few drinks.
I know, right?
And things are getting wacky downstairs. I know.
That's so funny.
It was
the dude with the envelopes.
It was the dude with the envelopes.
Can they sue him? I mean, he's an employee.
I mean, just a mistake. I mean, it didn't cost anybody any money. Like you said, it'll probably add intrigue.
Actually helps. Like it made it biggest story of the week.
Oh yeah.
And
it is a shame that, you know, Moonlight didn't get the full moment.
What my wife and I were saying, that like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, that is just, I mean, for you to hear your film's name and jump up, they'll never get that.
Right.
They'll never get that.
Right.
And that is, I will also say, too, La La Land producer.
Horowitz.
They kept saying, like, he, you know, I posted the article, and I think it was great food for thought, that he was the hero of the Oscars. Part of me thinks he seemed kind of like acting happy pissed.
Yeah.
He seemed kind of frustrated with the situation, which is totally warranted.
Yeah, he did not.
No, you're the winner. Get up on stage. Come on.
He did not he clearly had nothing but love for Moonlight.
Sure.
And was furious at
the situation.
At the Academy.
I think so, right. I think so.
But he did, you know, I did like him taking charge. Because there's like stage hands running around, Warren Beatty's kind of tottering back up, Kimmel's like, and this guy's like, let's get them up here.
Yeah.
The one other thing I want to say that, you know, because all we're talking about is this snafu.
Yeah.
Is that it's really incredible that Moonlight beat La La Land for the reasons we're talking about. I mean, and you know, a lot was made leading up that the Academy tried to diversify last year after the Oscars So White thing, and they said, oh, look, they did it. Look at all these acting nominees. And that whole time I was thinking, yeah, but look, when you have movies as good as Fences and Moonlight and Hidden Figures, of course some of those people are going to get nominated. I'm not convinced yet that the Academy votes differently now. And then, Moonlight beat La La Land? Yeah, it's a different Academy now. It absolutely is.
Sure.
It's
for it to beat La La Land, yeah, I think you're right. That's a good call.
It's just such a... You know, La La Land is such a like we keep saying, that's what wins best picture.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like the people voting for the Oscars who were like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
But we like this.
Yeah. So that was a crazy Oscars.
I know, right?
Yeah. Whatever happens next year won't be when Kong wins best picture. That's not going to.
I love it.
Not,
What's your rating for Kong, Sean?
I give it a warm 8. Some of you might have been thinking I would go a little higher. Like I said, I got some script problems, but this will probably be the popcorn movie of the year.
Yeah.
Like
I'm gonna completely agree with your 8.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
8.
You have to see it.
Yeah.
Big,
good times.
Big monsters are fighting.
A lot of great movies out. You got to see Logan.
This you got to see. This you got to see.
Get
Logan.
Out. I'm,
get
I'm
out.
Trying to catch up on everything.
Lego Batman, you got to see.
So fun.
Yeah. Split? No. Split's garbage. 50 Shades? Garbage.
Oh, God.
I'm glad that Get Out came to kill a streak of terrible horror, because right in a row was Split, which is awful. Bye Bye Man was awful.
I can't
and,
believe you watched that.
The Ring, Rings was awful. Did you miss all of those?
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah, smart no decision.
You know, those are the ones I'm going to watch in a hotel room a year from now.
Yeah.
When I'm falling asleep.
Come up with some way to end this podcast.
Yes, I deserve. I forgot the quote.
What?
Oh, my God. I was going to do Samuel Jackson talking about Kong, and I ruined it. Forget it.
Yeah,
see it's ya. A mess.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com. You can handle the truth. Epicast.